You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's True Detective After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show.
It's AfterBuzz TV's True Detective After Show.
There it is.
There it is.
The song.
Oh, man.
That is True
Detective. Sing it, Joe. What you got? True Detective.
Welcome to the True Detective After Show. After Buzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined across from me by the lovely Julia Carely.
Hi, everybody.
Not joined, at least in person, by Nando Velasquez or Joe Sanfilippo. One or both of which may or may not call in. I'm not
so
sure.
So decisive.
It's been a crazy week for both these guys, and as it has been for all of us.
Yeah.
I had a birthday. I'm just going to talk about myself for a second.
Yeah, happy birthday, yes, Joe.
29 again. We've been around, and but we did get a chance to watch this episode, and we're taping it now, and we still love the show, man.
Dude. I seriously dig this show.
Yeah.
It's everything I wanted it to be and so much more.
I think the show's a little, around the internets and the Twitterverse and the, blogospheres. The show seems a little polarizing, It's largely, it's largely, well-reviewed and well-talked about, and it's, largely lauded as this, great thing and everyone's excited about it. But there's a whole bunch of people who are like, it's boring, it's this, it's self-indulgent, it's da-da-da. So I've been hearing that, too. So I do feel like, to a certain degree, it's polarizing.
Well, we talked about that last week a little bit, that this is definitely a slow burn, as we said, I believe,
slow
of a
burn.
Show. But I think that's what makes the show... that gives me, I think it's super exciting. I'm filled with anticipation. And it's a slow burn, not only in the case that we're dealing with and everything surrounding that, but also the characters.
Sure.
And that's where I am 100% invested are in these characters. I'm fascinated by them, especially since we're getting two different versions of them over a 17-year time lapse.
Yep. And it's just really, like we talked about last week, great way to tell a story, great. Sort of set pieces and great device of the two timelines, and then hopefully converging and filling in the blanks in between is great. Again, a lot of props to this Nick Pizzolatto, who again first time showrunner, doesn't do TV, is now he wrote some killing stuff or something, but he's written some really great stuff here, and I went back and tried to look at some of his stories and novels and trying to get into some of those and have read some stuff about them and dark, man.
Yeah.
Like dark is night, like pitch black dark stuff.
He teaches as well, right? At the university level?
Yeah. So it doesn't leave me a lot of hope for sort of how this thing will end.
Well, I don't know where you have any sense or shred of hope that you think this is going to turn lighthearted. Where does that live within you, Brad?
Well, I don't know. There's a piece of you where you're like, well, then we're all going to turn this around and everyone's going to be happy.
And maybe they'll do a little musical number.
Right. My prediction is none of that's going to happen.
Oh, that's a good prediction. That's the sort of prediction I would make.
A long, dark train to a long, dark place.
Oh, and it's just going to get darker and darker.
Exactly.
And darker.
And that's okay with me because everything doesn't have to be rainbows.
Oh, I like it dark.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Oh, no, I set myself up for it.
And also we got to talk about, Cary Fukunaga, who is, who's directing every episode of this series, this first series of True Detective, which is an anthology series, which hopefully will get a whole new case and a whole new everything next season, but which has not been announced by HBO very coyly. They've not even announced that they've picked it up, I don't think, yet. But
But we're holding out hope over here.
We know they will. It's
of
like,
course.
Duh.
Look at this.
You know. But man, I want to just talk briefly about this, the look again of the show and the feel of the show and what, you know, Cary Fukunaga's done, with everything I see, every shot. Everything is just, to me, just beautiful and beautifully shot and beautifully executed. And it really, really sets a very, like I said, it's a very tactile feel. It's a very, like, palatable tone. I feel like I can actually feel this place through the television and feel the atmosphere and feel everything that's happening here.
There's a definite style to the way this is shot that sets it apart, I think, from any other thing, any mm-hmm. other show I'm seeing on television right now. Hannibal is very stylized as well, which we cover as well, and that's part of the draw, for me at least.
Right.
But
Hannibal's hyper-stylized, right?
Yeah.
Which makes that great.
And, yes,
you know,
yes.
Like, you know, we talk about David Slade, he does some really cool stuff, and it's sort of hyper-stylized. This just has a very specific, it's like he's made the, you know, it's, I can't say he's made the town a character, which is what Joe Flippo talked about last time.
Yeah, that's exactly, sorry, go on.
No, but I'm saying, like, I don't know if it's a town that's a character, but it just feels like the cinematography itself is a character. Like, I don't know if you're, I mean, wherever you are, whatever you're seeing, it's like, it feels like it adds so much to the fabric of what this show is. And I guess it's the town, but it's also the interiors of the houses, and it's the roads and the trees in the background, the swamps, and it's just,
and in doing that, it completely adds to the desolation mm-hmm. that these characters are feeling in this desolate town, in this desolate part of the country,
right,
where it looks like it's just been left behind.
Right. I think it's kind of neat too. I mean, Joe makes a lot, Flippo makes a lot of the fact, and Nando, that we cover all these dark shows, and we do The Following and Hannibal and Bates Motel and all these sort of cheery serial killer shows. And this is another one of those. But they're all sort of different. Like, this is something about these crime thrillers, if you will, or, you know, I'll just call them, they're all sort of have a serial killer, you know, at the center of them. And I don't want to, you know, compare them in this way, but not necessarily kill them this way, but they're all completely different ways to sort of tackle this genre and tell these stories. And I think that True Detective does it in a way that is a departure from everything we already cover. And it does it in a way that focuses extremely on the characters. And it's just like this, at the end of the day, this is just a character study. It'll be a wonderful character study. And like I said, I'm sure it'll be dark. It'll sure be crazy ride. But it'll be lovely, just like the man who's on the line right now, Nando Velasquez. Nando, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Nando.
How are you?
How are you?
Hey.
You like that segue?
Doing good. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I said, did you like that segue? Yeah. I'm trying to give myself credit.
I love your segue. No, your segues are great. That's why you're the lead host, man.
Oh.
That's why you're the lead host.
Oh, you're here for me.
The master of the segue.
So we were just talking about, as you know, again, you kind of like the tone of the show. You heard a little bit of that. We're just getting into sort of the mood of the show, the tone of the show, the feel of the show, the look of the show. We talked a little bit about Nick Pizzolatto and Cary Fukunaga, and that's kind of where we're at right now. So what do you have to say?
No, I'm loving what you're saying, and I agree with everything you say. This is definitely character study. What I love a lot about this episode is it's like peeling back the onion. You know, it's just another layer that gets added. We get a little bit more of this world. We get to see a little bit more of what Cole's past is like.
Right.
We get to hear more about, you know, what happens to her and his wife. We get to see the moral ambiguity of Hart.
Right.
Between his mistress and then the way he treats that one woman, the one from Banshee. I know you know the name of her. You know how he treats her when he's when he's at that, I guess that whorehouse.
Yeah, Beth. Well, the character's name is Beth. The actress's name.
That?
The character's name is Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the woman who Woody Harrelson or Matthew McConaughey tells to get out of this profession, essentially, and go set herself out. And she's from Banshee, and she's gorgeous, and her like is escaping me. I'll find it on the internet.
Gorgeous.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you, Alexandra Daddario. Whoa.
Yes.
She is amazing.
Yes.
And that scene, sorry if I just, you know, geeked a little bit, but she's always been a really good actress, and she definitely gets to show, she shows her chops in a lot more, I guess.
Oh.
In that, but still amazing.
Take it easy there, Nando. Just
I don't think I've been like this on the show.
Are you kind of swoony over there, Nando?
No, feeling a little swoony?
I'm swoony.
That's usually me and Flippo's
job. Can you feel love in the air over here? Can you feel it?
Yeah.
I was a fan before, though. I was definitely a fan. And again, it's just great how every scene, just in general, every scene just adds more and more to the locale, to what's going on with both men and their relationship.
Right. Well, let's jump into this a little bit then. I mean, let's talk about the actual show itself, and you know, let's talk a little about the case, because you know, as we mentioned, you know, we're following one case that happened in 1995 that seems to lead to another case that is happening in 2010. Is it right?
2012.
So, but I mean, you know, again, as we talked about, the case is sort of secondary, it seems, and what's happening is secondary. It also seems as just a device to be able to service us to be able to tell the stories of these characters and talk about these characters. But let's talk about this case.
Yeah, what I found interesting about the story of this episode and this hour-long portion of the show, they deal a lot with what it is to work a case and how in working a case and gathering all the details, what you're doing is creating a narrative. And they really did that with the characters as well. They're creating a narrative for the case and they're creating a narrative for these two detectives, for us.
Right.
And I liked that they showed or displayed the monotony, and blatantly displayed the monotony of working a case like this, how it's not like wham, bam, bam, 4 days, it's done, it's solved.
Right.
It's little bits just chipping away at a time. And they included that into the day-to-day lives that they showed us a glimpse of in Hart and Cole.
Yeah.
You know, their morning rituals and just how monotonous and excruciating, you know, time-wise.
Right.
I like that.
I do too. We got an introduction to what is happening, the murder and the antlers and the thing and the bird's nest and such.
Devil's nest.
I'm sorry. And then now we're working the case. We're working our leads. Correct.
Sure.
But we did have a moment where this task force, this anti-Christian crimes, what's the task force called?
Oh gosh, I can't remember.
It was anti-Christian task force.
The anti-Christian task force is here, and McConaughey does not like it at all. in a really great scene where he sort of is forced to sort of confront these three guys, and the boss brings them in and sort of says, you know, knock it off, you know, and we know what's interesting about this. We know that they do solve this case. So it's kind of like a spoiler alert there. We know that they solved this case, yet we're still interested as to how they are going about this. Now, what? No?
Do they? I mean, they say they solved the case. But
Woody says they solved the case.
And so does McConaughey. But 17 years later,
right.
there's a copycat, or he's back out there, or he's saying, how could this be happening if we caught him in 1995? So I'm just saying.
So can you, Nando, can you or Julia, or you sort of give break? Just, can you just recap what this thing is? Like, there's a murder, there's an antler. I mean,
here's the interesting thing that I noticed from the first episode, because I have to rewatch it with subtitles, because sometimes those accents are mud to me. And as we usually watch the show and then go immediately on the air, sometimes it's really hard to just get some of those facts written down right away.
Right.
I noticed that in the interviews in 2012, they do mention they apprehended someone. But they also keep mentioning, they mention it as if they apprehended one person, but one thing that keeps getting mentioned is the kids in the woods.
Hmm.
The what?
So, which, the kids in the woods, which makes it almost seem like... And as we noticed in this episode, that the victim, Dora, just kept telling everyone she was going to a church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, so it's all very interesting. Purposely keeping it a little bit ambiguous as well.
Right.
Nando,
we're losing you. You're breaking up and or we're losing you. So maybe you can go to a spot or do something, but... We love you, but
how am I now?
We want to hear.
Can
we want to
hear
you.
Me?
In the meantime,
can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, but in the meantime,
so we'll pick that up a little bit.
So, but Julia, why don't you give me your from your perspective right now, play detective yourself.
Okay.
As to what give me your sort of version of what's happening, what's being uncovered, and what is missing from 2012 in this case.
So, I mean, as far as we know, since we're working the case and it could be monotonous too, we're chipping away at it.
Yeah.
We got the girl with the antlers with the symbol on her back. Mm-hmm. McConaughey seems to think that this is, I should call him Cole. Sorry.
Cole
McConaughey, love of my life,
yes.
Whatever.
Whatever.
It all works. He'll respond. Trust me, he'll respond to either. So he seems to think that this is deeper and meticulously executed.
Mm-hmm.
So then we find out that there's a girl who went missing last year or 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
5 years ago. I don't remember the timeline there. Who no one in the town seems to think that the two cases are connected. McConaughey is brilliant, and so he thinks it is. They find the devil's nest in her childhood home.
Right.
So now we also have identified the girl with the antlers and the symbol as Dora Lang. Thank
Dora
you.
Lang.
Oh, there you are, Nando. As Dora Lang. We're getting a little backstory on her. She was a prostitute. She had problems at home before that.
Mm-hmm.
Her friends seem to think that she's something of a druggie, a little bit of a lost soul, if you will. I think McConaughey refers to her as sad at some point, a sad soul. And we now know that she found a church that she was telling everybody about. She told her ex-boyfriend Charlie in jail.
Mm-hmm.
She told her prostitute friend. She told her mom. She told the dude on the street corner. Like, she told everybody. She found a church and something about a yellow king that she's following.
Yes.
That's what we got.
Yeah, all that just seems really not right to me. It seems very, very creepy because when you add all those things up in this heavily religious, state and town, with all these different sort of, where religion is a fabric of everyone's life, it seems, and you have the ability of these people to be easily manipulated by pseudo religions or cults or variations of the religions they know, and then to make that right turn into this whole thing that seems very, you know, cultish and almost borderline. I don't want to call it satanic, but it's something. I don't want to get in trouble here, but it seems like not a far leap to go from, you know, this church to this cult to this, like, you know, thing.
Other things I think we need to mention when we're talking about Dora herself, as when we were in her childhood home, there were hints of maybe being molested by her father.
Mm-hmm.
There were hints looking at the picture of her standing amongst men in big white pointy hats.
Yep.
And I don't know.
Ghosts.
I thought it was ghosts.
Yes.
That's part of the country where.
Yeah, no, it's Louisiana.
And that's the kind of, that's where you're going to find it.
Ku Klux Klan. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to find that.
And what's interesting about that, too, again, is what Hart's speech to Beth and to the madam, I guess, in charge.
Yeah.
That was very similar. That's a really interesting correlation that you brought up, Julia.
Yeah, it is. Nando, what are your thoughts on this case, briefly, while we have you again?
While you have me at this moment with cell phone service. I don't know exactly where I got lost, but, I mean, it's really, really just interesting. Again, it's very easy to make the leap from this church to a possible cult.
Yeah.
But again, it sounds like they apprehended one person back in 1995, not a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a little unclear. And then the other interesting thing I noticed from the first episode and even in this one is, and I think it's something that might be important later down the line, is the interviews in 2012. They interview Cole first. If you look at the dates, they interview Cole 5 days before they interview Hart. And most of Hart's questions are about Cole. So
right.
It makes me wonder if there's something that happened in those 5 days as well, between those two officers and Cole. So, again, we mentioned the possibility of them throwing suspicion onto Cole.
Right.
And then maybe it's a red herring, but I really am curious to see why. I mean, other than the fact that they were in two different cities, I suppose, why it took 5 days. And why does it seem like the questions that they're asking Cole are very different than the questions they're asking Hart?
Well, because there's clearly some suspicion there. I think that they are on. They think Hart is. We talked about this last week. How McConaughey is in a non. What feels like a non. Well, he's probably in Texas, but they're visiting him in a official capacity. But it's more like they're questioning him. Whereas with Woody Harrelson's character, it looks like that they're sort of asking for professional courtesy and getting information on McConaughey as well as the case. So it appears to me that McConaughey is under suspicion for something. That's the way it looks to me. I don't know.
That's the way it's being set up.
I'm not saying that's
the
way it is.
No, that's the way they're setting it up for sure. But the more that we as an audience are learning about these two characters, the more I think it ought to be flipped.
Right. Well,
I mean, plus we see how unorthodox the interview is with Cole.
Sure.
The beers and the cigarettes, and it's a very unorthodox interview.
Sure.
So that's why I'm just assuming if there's actually another story that takes place within those 5 days.
Well, let's get into those guys. Let's get into the two characters here, separately, kind of, because we can play a little game called, what have we learned? Because each of these characters are, we're introduced to them. It's like four characters, really.
Absolutely.
We have, the two guys that are in 95 and the two guys that are in 2012. So we have these guys, and the first episode we met them, and the table was set, and we get to learn a little bit, more of an introduction. And then this episode we start to learn things about them.
We get some definite revelations.
Yeah, some revelations about both men. Both men in both time zones. I don't know that I know too much about Woody Harrelson in 2012, but I'm beginning to know a lot more about Matthew McConaughey in 2012. And of course, we're learning about both these men, who these men were in 95. So I do want to get into that. But before I do, I want to thank you all again for joining us on iTunes and downloading us and finding us and making us the number one most downloaded show on iTunes. True Detective is number one. Last week, hopefully,
Nando.
There it is.
Bye-bye.
True Detective was number one last week, and we'll be number one.
That was the worst noise I've ever heard in my entire life. Nando. That was offensive.
Is he flying in a jet? What's he doing?
What was that?
I don't know.
So I'll put myself in music if that happens again. Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You're a jetpack? You're taking off your jetpack. Anyway, thank you all for downloading the show, finding us on iTunes, making us number one last week, and continuing and rating us on iTunes. It helps when you rate us. It helps people find us as well. Other people find us. It also helps us as well. Fives are great too. But just be honest and tell us what you think. Also, you can find us on YouTube as well.
Look at our pretty faces. What'd you see?
I don't know.
I didn't see that.
anyway, but thank you very much.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Yep, and we have a special guest, I think, for next show.
Oh, for next show?
I think so. Coming up soon, we have a special guest.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I think it's in two shows, actually.
Yeah, two shows.
It's February 9th. We have a guest coming up on February
we'll
9th.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, back to the show. Sorry. Let's get into these characters. So, the episode itself is called... Seeing things, right?
Yep.
Seeing Things in this episode. So we get to see what that means in a lot of weird ways, because we find out that McConaughey's character is a bit of an insomniac for various reasons. And that insomnia in 95 has probably caused him to what we think is hallucinate or not. We get little hints of that in this episode with the group of birds, which seem to make the symbol of the thing that he was looking for.
That was some gorgeous imagery, by the way.
It was.
Shout out to our director here. That's beautiful.
Yeah, Cary Fukunaga.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And then, we have that weird sort of poignant moment where he says, back then the visions, most of the time I was convinced that I lost it. There are other times when I thought I was mainlining the truth seeker of the universe, which is right when we see those birds he sees that are forming, is actually, was the symbol. And so we wonder, what is it, a chicken egg thing? Is that something they saw that maybe turned into, that is something that he's predicting, is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
So I don't know.
We've learned a lot about about our man Cole in this episode.
Right.
It's a little staggering how much we learned about him from his past, from his daughter, Sophia, who died in a car accident
right.
in the driveway, which makes me wonder if maybe he was the one who hit her.
Right.
That's a thought of
we'll
mine.
Get to that.
Okay.
We only got about a couple of minutes here because we have a situation here with the studio.
Oh.
So we've got to wrap this up.
Oh, man, I'm getting into what I want to get into it.
We didn't get a chance to get into these characters. We'll do that on the back end again. But just very quickly, so just so we can wrap this up, we learned a lot about McConaughey. We learned this interview session is more like a therapy session for him. We see him sort of going through and talking about all of these different things that happened to him in the past and in the future and how it relates to him personally. And he's really sort of unloading. And the way he's playing the character when he's thinking about these things, he's actually, you can see the wheels turning in all levels. He's remembering 95, remembering what he thought, remembering what he felt.
Yeah.
And it's a really great piece of acting and a really great insight into the character in 2012 and 95.
You really get a sense. I mean, he says it. I mean, point blank, he says it. I know who I am. And he makes no bones about it. I think he knows who he is in 1995.
Right.
I think he knows even more of who he is. And he's let go of a lot of his ideas of redemption and whatnot. And I think now he's just living.
Right.
L-A-V-A-N. Sorry, I had to do it. It's my boy.
I like it. In 45 seconds, that will do a disservice to poor Woody Harrelson, but... for sure cheating on his wife, we know for a fact.
It's official.
Joe Flippo was right.
Yes.
for sure he's got a bit of a temper himself, as he got very hot with McConaughey about mentioning his wife. And, you know, the even, you know, handed, cool, calm character that Woody appears to be, as predicted, we get some hint that he's not who he appears to be. He is cheating. He's got some issues. He's got some alcohol issues. He has this sort of weird theory about, like, hey, man, this is how you keep a happy marriage.
Yeah.
We see that him and Michelle Monaghan says probably one of the worst things you can say to your husband is, you know, you didn't used to be such a chicken shit. You know, she's calling him out.
And by the way, I don't know if you caught this, but when McConaughey was talking about almost having a second wife.
Oh, Nando, yep. I've been holding on to that one. Go on.
Yep.
Well, no, he said that Maggie introduced him to his possible second wife. So he obviously has had a relationship with Maggie within those 17 years as well. We just don't know what kind of relationship it is yet. But obviously it almost seems like he's closer to her. He ends up closer to her than he does to Hart.
Right. Wow.
So let's put that. Hey, on that note, I actually have to step out. You continue finishing up the show, you guys, and I'll try and call in for following.
Thanks, Nando. Thanks, Nando. We'll talk to you soon. We have to wrap it up.
That's a bummer.
We're sorry,
guys.
Folks. We're sorry to our wonderful fans that we have to wrap it up. We didn't really get a chance to get into the characters. We'll get into them a little more next week because this is a show that is a character study. Lots to discuss, lots to talk about.
I could sit here for hours.
Up this conversation on YouTube, actually. With our people on YouTube.
Let's chat about
it. Pick up a conversation and chat about these two characters and where we think they're going. But really quickly, let's get into a very quick prediction. Go.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Go.
Okay, well, Nando sort of stole part of my prediction here.
Yes.
I actually had one ready. So he does say that he almost married a second time to a woman named Lauren who was introduced to him by Maggie, which is Hart's wife. He also alludes to the fact that he liked being with his family. And I think he is going to not like the way that Hart is treating his family,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to sort of move in as something of a father figure, maybe,
yeah.
and something of a husband figure,
and maybe
sort of ingratiate himself into that family.
Maybe something of a, never mind.
But she's going to introduce him to his future possible wife. Okay, what's your prediction?
It's the same prediction as it was last week, which is obviously I think that what you said, what Nando said, but Hart is going to have. I mean, McConaughey has something with Bridget Moorhead. They're going to have a thing.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go over well. But we'll find that out very soon.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for our lovely, very short edition of True Detective.
Let's talk about it. We'll take it to YouTube.
But you can also find us, Julia, where?
Find me on Twitter, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY. Also on Instagram. You could find me here for what shows we do? We're about to do the following.
Yep.
Here for True Detective, here for The Blacklist, and coming up next month, Hannibal.
Yep, there it is. And also, I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter, Joe Braswell on Instagram, all the shows she just mentioned, following Hannibal, and a bunch more. And we will see you all next week and on YouTube. That's it. Bye.
That's it.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.